there, Kaz Dran with you. Welcome to the J-Files. Red Hot Chili Peppers are one of the most successful bands in modern rock music. They started out in LA in the early 80s and had a moderate fan base for much of the decade. Their early sound was a freaky carnival ride, pulling together punk, funk, rap, and hard rock, played with a thrashing aggression. And then came their big breakthrough moment. In 1991, the Chili Peppers released their huge fifth album, Blood Sugar Sex Magik, which catapulted them to worldwide acclaim. Working with producer Rick Rubin, the band found a deeper, more emotive sound that would become their trademark. Within months, the album had sold millions of copies, and the band embarked on a huge worldwide tour. But the success came at a cost. Guitarist John Frusciante quit the band mid-tour, unable to cope with the newfound fame. And it wasn't just Frusciante who struggled with the attention. When Richard Kingsmill interviewed the band in LA in 1995, bass guitarist Flea revealed how the success of Blood Sugar Sex Magik impacted his life for years after it was released.
We toured really hard and for a really long time, and I actually the past few years were basically the lowest, worst time of my entire life. After that tour, I completely broke down physically, spiritually, emotionally. I just lost it. I cracked. My whole life fell to pieces, you know. And
can you pinpoint why?
Well, it was where my life headed me to, you know. I think all of my life I've been a very hectic, wild, manic person with extremely high highs and extremely low lows. I also didn't treat myself very well physically. I mean, through the years, I did lots of drugs. I didn't eat right. I wouldn't sleep right. I, you know, basically thought I was Superman and I could do anything I wanted to do. And, for lots of reasons, I was just hectic. I was crazed. And, I worked real hard on tour. I'd gone through a stressful time. I'd gotten divorced. I was away from my kid. I was on the road. I couldn't sleep, you know. And my body just finally said, hey, fuck you, man. You know, you're not getting out of bed. And, it was a very difficult thing for me because I've always been someone who's relied on I've been like bursting with energy my entire life, you know, and all of a sudden I was like, just couldn't do anything. And I became very sad, very lonely, very distrustful, very, you know, just a miserable person. And in retrospect now, that's the best thing that ever happened to me, getting like that. Because of that, I was forced to really examine myself and to learn a lot of things about myself and to learn a lot of things about living. You know, which I did. And I worked really hard on myself spiritually and emotionally. And I've come to be a happier person I've ever been in my life. And I feel great now, you know, and I feel so much wiser. And I feel like I've learned and grown as a human being and growing up to be a kinder, more sensitive person, which is what it's all about, you know.
So you very much were responsible for pulling yourself out of it.
Yeah. I mean, there was no one that could have done it but me. You know what I mean? I had to, and it took me time. You know, it took me time to learn to be an accepting person, you know, and to learn to look inside myself, you know, and to be humble and to find fault with myself and to recognize my faults and my shortcomings and my defects and to work on them. And I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm still far from perfect, you know. I'm still pretty much too spontaneous and wild of a person to be perfect, you know, but I'm trying. I'm trying, and I've learned a lot about myself and, you know, I realize that there's really nothing more important in the world to me than just being a kind person. So that's what I'm trying to get to, you know.
It's ironic in a way that you kind of went to such depths in your life, kind of like the year or 2 years after the huge success that you are now enjoying.
Well, I know you would think, well, you know, you work all your life and then finally all of a sudden, you know, you're selling a zillion records and making all this money and traveling around the world and stuff. And that really didn't, that's not the thing that got to me. It wasn't that, because it wasn't like the Red Hot Chili Peppers had overnight success. This band's been together for 13 years. We've been working our asses off like crazy the whole time playing. And every time we play, we know we give every ounce of energy in our bodies. We give, you know, everything that we have. And it was like, it's not, if we had been an overnight success, I could see that being a really difficult thing to deal with, such as people I know, you know, who have become very successful in a short period of time have a much more difficult time dealing with it. But we've been around for a long time. It's not like we're standing on top of a flagpole. We're standing on top of a mountain. It was having such a difficult time in my life, like hitting a low dynamic in my life during the time that we, you know, after we have achieved such a good commercial success, it wasn't because of the commercial success. It was because of just where my life led me, you know, the path that I was on. You know, I was just asking for it, you know. You have to take care of yourself and you have to love yourself. Being traveling around the world, playing for zillions of people, doing all this, I'm going to be in, you know, situations, but it's up to me to handle those situations. You know, it's not up to anyone else. I choose to do what I do. I love to do what I do, and I respect myself for doing what I do. I think what I'm doing is a good thing. But it's up to me to deal with it. You know what I mean? It's like people say all the time, oh, well, you're in this big rock band. You know, what about all the groupies? What about all the drugs? What about, you know, how do you deal with it? How do you handle it? It's like, well, perhaps because they're like all these things are available to us, we, you know, it's up to us to learn. You know what I mean? It's like, how many times does a guy have to, like, how many times does it take me to learn the lesson that sex without love is terrible, that sex without love is nothing, that sex without love is bad for your soul, is, you know, it hurts you, you know? That's something, and how, you know, how many times did I have to learn the lesson, like, don't do drugs, you know? You, like, sitting around doing heroin or cocaine, you're really going to hurt yourself, and don't do it, you know? And because those things have been, like, in my face, because I've been, you know, in a rock band for 13 years, on one hand, it's been difficult to deal with it, but on another hand, there's no question. I know all that. I learned about that stuff. You know what I mean? I dealt with it, and I learned about it. So even though things might be a little bit more extreme, it's you know, that duality is there for everybody anyway. It's just on a more extreme level, and it's up to me to deal with it. It's up for anyone in my position to deal with that.
It took the Chili Peppers 4 years to release another album after Blood Sugar Sex Magik. They recruited Jane's Addiction guitarist Dave Navarro to fill John Frusciante's shoes and again teamed up with Rick Rubin on production. The result was One Hot Minute, an album which was a big favourite here in Australia but didn't quite match the dizzying heights of its predecessor. Despite this, drummer Chad Smith told Triple J the band was in a really good place.
I feel that we are really firing on all pistons for the first time since before Blood Sugar, because John really didn't want to tour after that very much. He wasn't into it. So, Dave has been a real sort of shot in the arm for us, and Flea is feeling really good, and Anthony. Everyone's very excited about it. We're gonna rock like pigs.
Great. The influence of Dave on the Chili Peppers has been pretty marked with this album, hasn't it?
Yes. I mean, yeah, it has to be, because whenever you get a new musician in your band, it changes dramatically when there's only four guys in the band. And, of course, the guitar being a melodic instrument, not taking away anything from the drums, of course, or the bass or vocals, but it's a very important instrument, and he plays in his own style, and it sounds like him, and that's why we wanted him to be in the band. We wanted him to bring all of his Navarro-ness to the table, and he did, and he rocked in a big, huge way, and I think it's a really... I feel like we're at another sort of beginning of another band. You know, it's like a new band. You know, it really is, and it's exciting.
So what do you reckon that's going to do to the fans' heads when they hear this new album?
I reckon they're going to tap their toes and snap their fingers. I think that, you know, our fans that really like our music and get into it and listen to the, you know, to all the songs and our true fans, not the people that watch MTV and, you know, and know Under the Bridge and all that shit. I mean, well, Chili Peppers records have always been different, all of them, and this one is no exception. And I think that it's really soulful, raw, honest music, and it's really great. And I think it's way better than 99.9% of the bullshit that's out there right now. So I think that people are really going to like it, and we'll have new fans and old fans. And the main thing is that you have to be happy with it yourself, you know, and that's why, you know, it took so long for it to come out and all that. I mean, it was done when it was done, and you can't just punch a time card in and start to play, and inspiration comes in many different ways, and people that are really creative musicians, you have to be inspired and have things in your life that inspire you and make you want to create, so that's what we did, and it's done, and it's really great, and we're really proud of it, and we wouldn't put anything out less, so there you have it.
Could you turn up the track a little bit, please?
Rick Rubin played a vital role in the success of Red Hot Chili Peppers. Before he worked on Blood Sugar Sex Magik, Rubin had worked with the likes of Run DMC, Beastie Boys, Public Enemy and Slayer. Chad Smith shared what it was like to work with a legendary producer.
Well, you know, he is a character, and people, I think, get the somewhat of the wrong impression that just see him or, you know, because he's sort of a menacing-looking type guy and has his, you know, the big beard and is wearing sunglasses and he's very soft-spoken, but he's a sweetheart, and we really enjoyed working with him on Blood Sugar, and it turned out so well, and we never even asked him to produce this next album. He immediately just figured out that he would be doing it, because, you know, there was never any question. I don't think, I mean, he's like, he's our friend, and we respect him, and he's really smart, and he's a good sounding board for musical ideas, and I just enjoy working with him. He just seems like the right guy, and we have very similar ideas about music and how records should be made and sounds, and very open minded. He just, you know, he's a cool guy. We like him, and actually we found Dave in Rick's beard. It was where Dave came out of. I just reached in and pulled Dave out of his beard. He had him stashed in there, along with every CD that he's ever put out. He's got all the Slayer records. He's got the Cult. He's got the Danzigs. I think he's got the last Tom Petty record. I think he's got Johnny Cash's record in his beard. He's got a lot of stuff in that beard.
After the soaring success of Blood Sugar Sex Magik and the emotional turmoil that followed, the Chili Peppers were able to regroup and keep going. Frontman Anthony Kiedis felt like Dave Navarro gave the band a fresh start.
I mean, it's not like Dave Navarro joined the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and it's not like the Red Hot Chili Peppers joined Dave Navarro. We just all joined each other and became a new thing. And I think in a situation where you have four very distinct individual creative people, that we were all forced to go to a new place, and that was a blessing, having him join the band. We knew that we would never even attempt to be anything that we had been in the past, and he didn't want to recreate his past. We wanted to build from our past into something entirely new and different, and that's what it turned out being. He catapulted us into having to be something fresh and different, and that was a real blessing.
It certainly is. Compared to Blood Sugar Sex Magik, it is an obvious progression.
Definitely. It always has been with us. I mean, every record is a very beautiful and honest expression of that period of time in our lives, as is this one. And I think we're pretty lucky to have progressed over all those records. We have 6 records now, and it's, you know, it's like a little kid growing up or something. You know, looking at the school pictures from first grade through high school or something.
How old do you feel now?
We've got whiskers now.
You've got whiskers now. Oh, adolescence is kind of hit.
Just barely, yeah.
Great. Well, that's good news for Red Hot Chili Peppers fans in the future. Now, what about your singing? What sort of progression do you think you made with this album?
I don't know. I really have a very difficult time analyzing myself because it doesn't do anything for me to sit back and try to dissect myself and understand why I do what I do. I seem to feel more comfortable just being as I am and not thinking about it too much, sort of like a kid. And all I know is that I had a lot inside of me that had to come out in the form of musical exorcism, and I feel probably more comfortable now than ever before vocalizing in this band. It's just something I've gotten a little bit better at and a little bit more comfortable with, and I think relaxation is the key to honest expression, and we've developed to the point where there is that creative relaxation and feeling comfortable being yourself and not being too concerned with preconceptions or your own expectations of what you should be like. Just be as you are and let that be captured. I like pleasure spiked with pain, and music is my aeroplane. It's my aeroplane. Somber, sweet and sour, Jane, and music is my aeroplane. It's my aeroplane. As I said before, the album One Hot Minute was a favourite with fans here in Australia. It went to number one on the charts, and 3 tracks were voted into the 1995 Triple J Hottest 100. Here's Anthony Kiedis explaining the special meaning behind Aeroplane and My Friends. I love Aeroplane. It feels really good to sing that song. It feels great to sing it because lyrically, when I got the feeling that turned out to be the lyrics of that song, I was sitting in a restaurant in Hollywood surrounded by a bunch of people that I could not relate to, and I felt completely misunderstood and isolated from the world, which is how I feel sometimes. And I heard a song, and I can't even remember what it was, but that song completely took me to a place of peace and comfort. And that's what music frequently does for me. When I just can't take the insanity of my environment, I can disappear into a cloud of music, and for a while, you know, I'm able to breathe freely.
That great feeling of escapism.
It is an escape, but it's an organic escape. It's not a self-destructive escape, and it's not an irresponsible escape of, you know, letting your loved ones down. It's a creative exploration and relaxation in the middle of insanity.
Who are the kids?
The kids are from a school called the Little Red Schoolhouse here in Hollywood, led by fearless young Clara Balzary, daughter of Flea.
Ah, so she's on it.
Yeah, 6 and 7-year-old singing.
Great.
With Flea actually as the ringmaster that day in the studio. He was in charge of rousing the troops.
He was the conductor, if you like.
He was, and he's great at it. He relates to kids so well. It's fantastic to see him relating to kids. There was a period of my life about 2 years ago where I looked around myself and all of the people that I really cared about and really loved were having incredibly difficult times in their lives, and I saw people dying and I saw people losing their minds and going insane, and I saw people disappearing into isolation and negativity, and I didn't understand why everybody that I seemed to care about was going crazy. And I just asked myself, what is it that I can do to somehow be of service to these people, to support them? And I realized it was just about always being there with love and respect for people that you care about at all times, regardless of their state of mind, because that's all I can really give. And
did it work?
It worked for me.
Do you feel like it seeped across? It went across to someone else?
Yeah, things are getting better. Definitely.
Do you feel like you left many friends behind with all the success that the Chili Peppers had a few years ago?
Never, because my friends are way more important to me than any so-called success. I really love my friends, and they make this lifetime 1,000 times more meaningful to me. When you don't know yourself.
That sense of friendship and camaraderie has been critical to Red Hot Chili Peppers' success. In the years and albums that followed, their sound continued to morph and expand, leading to even greater acclaim. One thing has remained true and firm: their great chemistry as a group and their love for one another as friends. Guitarist John Frusciante was an on-and-off member of the Chili Peppers for many years, at times stepping away to deal with drug addiction and at other times to pursue different musical projects. In 2019, the news of his return after a decade away was greeted with a shared excitement around the world, such as his influence on the band's sound. When Frusciante spoke to Double J's Tim Scheel, he talked about the strong bonds of friendship in the band.
My brain formed in that way. I joined the band when I was 18 years old, so I wasn't yet really an adult, and I became an adult while I was in the band. And for better or for worse, I learned to be an adult from Flea and Anthony in a lot of ways. So no, I don't know if that was a good thing or a bad thing, but it's the way it is, nevertheless. And so I don't know, I've spent like sort of half my life in the band and half my life out of the band as things turned out. And I suppose that's what I needed to be able to keep things fresh and to not feel like I was going to become one of those people that I didn't want to ever become, who just sort of keep repeating themselves and go into get too comfortable with the rock star mentality and the rock star lifestyle. Because it's one of those things you've got to fight in yourself, the ego that comes along with that. On one hand, you want to be appreciative of the people who, you know, put you on a pedestal or tell you they love you and stuff. And on the other hand, you've got to keep your ego in check, and you don't want to go around thinking you're superior to other people or letting them make you think that you are any better than anybody else, you know?
I have to ask, John, I hope you don't mind me asking, but what, you know, how is it being back with the Chili Peppers? Like, how's it feeling? Did you have any kind of trepidation about it, or has it just been kind of like returning to family, you know?
Yeah, it's just returning to family. I'm extremely comfortable with those people, and it was as if no time had gone by at all when we started playing, pretty much, like, with a couple of minor exceptions, like how Chad and I gradually got our communication together in a new way. But basically, like, we're all just as comfortable with each other as we ever were. And we just felt like that right off the bat. I don't know. I find that when I looked at it with fresh eyes after all this time had gone by, I just think Flea and Anthony and Chad are particularly great people to be in a band with. Like, I've known other musicians and I've seen how bad egos can fly. And as far as rock musicians go, those guys really know how to keep their feet on the ground and their heads level. And that it's just very lucky for me that those were the people that I wound up having a good connection with. So yeah, it's just, you know, I jam with other people. I've had, you know, interesting musical relationships with other people, and I certainly have a great chemistry with Aaron Funk. Great music comes out of us whenever we play together. But as far as playing guitar, there's nobody I'd really want to be doing it with other than the band. And luckily, you know, the chemistry is still there, and we still enjoy each other's company as human beings. It's the end of the world and all the Western cities.
Chili Peppers have withstood loss, addiction, and burnout. They've built a devoted global fan base and sold millions of albums, well and truly earning their place as one of the most successful and most loved bands in the world. The J-Files is produced by Gab Burke. I'm Kaz Tran. Thanks for listening.
Every fucking kind of music is the voice of the people!